Welcome to the podcast of Imago Dei Community, where we are convicted to help bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world. Join us in this Sunday service as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Happy Father's Day, everybody. A friend of mine's church gave out a piece of bacon to every dad who came in. But I could think of nothing more depressing than one piece of bacon. Just picture people being like, bummed. And then you'd eat it all, the 12 o'clock would just smell bacon. We'd be like, sorry, they ate it all. And then they never listen to anything I have to say. Which isn't that different than a normal 12 o'clock, but just kidding. We love them. Hey, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're in 1 Peter, but we're going to start in Matthew today. And we're looking at a passage where Peter talks about anxiety. And as, if you remember, he's speaking to Christians who are sort of scattered throughout this region. And because they put their faith in Christ, they're suffering persecution. Peter uses this metaphor of Babylon and exile and this idea that you're kind of in the world, but the world is hostile towards them and their experience. And so there is a lot of anxiety for them in Babylon, so to speak. Anxiety is sort of the way the world works, if you think about it. We have a broken world with broken systems, whether those are governmental or economic or whatever it is. There is lots of anxiety in the system. It could be a global economic system, and you're looking at your retirement plan, and you know there's something that happens in a different country that affects their market, which affects somebody else's country, and then the guys on Wall Street freak out, and then you lose all your money, and they're like, sorry. That creates anxiety just a little bit. I was watching this TV show about hackers, and he talked about how all money now is digital. It's not real, it's just digital. And so they could just delete your account. And I thought about that, and I was like, "That? What would I say? Like, I'm sorry, Mr. McKinley, your account's been deleted. Okay, like, what? I don't have anything to show you anything else. I have cards, and so I got all my money in gold and put it under my bed, and it's not a lot. If you're thinking of robbing me, you're really super disappointed at that point. It's like, look, a gold coin. Yeah, that's about as good as it gets. Politics. I mean, look at the season that we're in, and it's based on fear and anxiety, and there's a lot of it. Terrorism and violence and hate. There's always anxiety in Babylon. And there's anxiety in our own lives, just relational anxiety. Anxiety you have within your family, if you're a father or a mother or a son or a daughter, which should include almost everybody in the room. There's anxiety in those relationships. There's anxiety at work. There's anxiety with your kids, anxiety with your friends. And so what do we do with this anxiety that we all carry? And I want you to think about the anxiety you carried into this place today. See, anxiety kind of, it works underneath the surface. It doesn't always just sort of blare through the loudspeakers, but it's under the surface and it's just sort of gurgling there, and it causes you to not be able to focus on God and His truth, to disengage with other people. Some people it causes them to pull away. Some people it causes them to go too deep into relationship. It causes us to break boundaries and put up walls, to try to medicate ourselves. Anxiety is driving all of us to some level. And within that, where is that sense of security, protection, peace? What do you require in terms of security and protection and peace that would actually calm your anxiety down? And if you're paying attention, we can't really outrun it. There's always going to be something or someone that can prevent you from all the peace you want, all the security you want, all the provision that you want. As I watch Jesus walk through the Gospels, one of the things that is so surprising is his ability to navigate anxiety. He shows up, he's a homeless, itinerant preacher. People come to him with every need that you can imagine, and they want him to fix it. Other people come to him, and they are threatened by him because he's saying he's the king of this kingdom, and it sounds like treason, and that he's against Rome, and so there's plots to kill him. The religious people that you'd think would be on his side because he's playing for their team, they don't like him because he's loving the wrong people and healing the wrong people, and he's breaking all their traditions and their rules and all these fences that they built to make themselves feel secure. And everywhere he goes, there is people wanting him to take on their anxiety. And yet he just walks right through it. There's a definition of leadership from a family systems theory that I think applies to Jesus when you think about him. Jesus was defined by his father's love. Like, he understood who he was, what world he was living in, and who it belonged to. And therefore, he was able to navigate life with a non-anxious presence. He was able to do that by bringing the presence of God to the world. And he brought healing, and he brought comfort, and he brought redemption and reconciliation, and he brought salvation. So I'm interested in us being able to figure out how he did that and what he calls us to do with our anxiety, because you all carried it in here today. All of us do. Some greater levels and some lesser, but we all have it in there. And what do you do with it? How do we follow in the dust of Jesus and bring love and healing and reconciliation to the world? That's what I want us to look at today in Matthew chapter 6. We'll start there. Matthew is speaking to a group of people. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says this: "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." As Jesus speaks to this crowd, he's speaking to a crowd who literally are wondering what they will wear. They have one set of clothes, maybe. They are wondering what they're going to eat tomorrow because they're poor. Regardless of all the anxieties that we have in our country, the truth is, we're still one of the most wealthiest countries in the world. So he's speaking to people that are living hand to mouth and meal to meal with nothing in the closet and nothing in the cupboards. And he says to them, outlandishly says to them, don't worry. And the reason that he says that is he's confronting the anxiety they have in an uncertain future. What will happen tomorrow? Even if today's going good, the other foot might drop tomorrow. And once the shoe drops, Who knows what could happen? Could be sickness, could be death, could be any number of tragedies, because they don't tend to like send an invitation like, we're going to show up on your doorstep in 3 months, right? They just happen. And so the future in a broken world with broken systems and broken bodies and sinful hearts, it is uncertain. And how do we address the anxiety that shows up in our lives there? And he says the first thing that he really, really wants us to know, and if you read the Gospels, you'll see this is true, is that you have a good and loving Father who cares for you. That's true of you today. Maurice talked about so well in his call to worship the idea that fathers tend to create an image for us of God, and some of those images are helpful. In other words, the way your dad interacted with you helped you hear God's good and loving Father, and you could go, yeah, I think I experienced that. And some of us have images that aren't helpful, that are sort of contrary to that. Some of us have images where we don't have an image because our dad left. But regardless of how good or bad, it is still a broken image. It's not a perfect image. And so Jesus wants us to not compare God with that image, but that image to him, to God the Father. And he is the good and loving Father, and that he's your good and loving Father. And the reason that that matters is because when Jesus says that he cares for you, just as he cares for creation, and this is his world, just as he cares for the birds of the air, he cares for you, and he provides for you. And if you put care and provision together, what we're looking at is a sense of security. I mean, underneath it all, it really is this quest for security. When we look at the world, we look at the bank account, we look at our boss, we look at our relationships, and we feel or sense insecurity, anxiety bubbles up in that place. And it could be very dramatic or very subtle, but it's still there eating away at us. And it doesn't matter if it's on a national level where we think more guns, more power, more military might will somehow take away that anxiety. We all know from watching the news that that's not true. We need a security that's outside of us, that's bigger than us, that's given to us. And Jesus says, your Father is good and loving, and he cares for you. And this is his world, even though it's broken, and he provides for you. And he knows the situation that you're in. Nothing's happening outside of his understanding. He knows when the birds fall. He knows when they need to eat. They don't have barns or closets or 401ks, right? But he provides for them. The grass just seems to grow up, and in the spring you see these beautiful flowers, and they didn't really work at it or go purchase that. It just looks beautiful. And that world, as beautiful as it is also a broken world, and he knows the situation that you're in. So when you feel that anxiety today, I want you to hear Jesus say, the Father cares for you and loves you. And he knows the situation that you're in. And it's still his world. And so he says, do this. Don't worry. So easy to say, right? Just stop worrying. But he doesn't just, he knows that that leaves a vacuum. Then what do I do with all this energy that the anxiety has created and that I'll waste on worrying about other things? He says, look, worrying is so pointless. Like, you can't add an hour to your life. Really is a genius statement. Like, you think with as much energy that we expend on worrying about things, we should at least get 60 minutes out of it, you know? It's like, yeah, we don't even get that. It really is pointless. It's the illusion that we're God, and somehow if we worry enough, we can get control back, or we can create security. And he's like, you can't even get an hour out of that. So don't worry, but instead do this. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Take that energy that is going to be focused on worrying or stressing or freaking out and point it to God and his kingdom. And the kingdom calls you to love and to give yourself to others, to navigate anxiety with a sense of non-anxiousness. It says, I can enter into someone else's pain, someone else's fear, someone else's desperation, and I can be Christ to them. I want to seek his kingdom. Open the scriptures and let the promises of God saturate you so you're reminded of who this loving and good Father is to you and who you are to him. Seek his righteousness. That there really isn't a security in this world that would be better than the love of God, the Father, for you. I know that sounds like a platitude. Like, yeah, you're a preacher, that's what you're supposed to say. But we're banking our whole lives on the fact that it's true, that his love is enough, that it is superior, that it is the thing that transcends all other insecurities. So don't worry, don't waste your energy there. When you find your heart, your mind, when you find yourself going there, divert, seek his kingdom. And that's where the security is. Bring it to the good and loving Father, the one who will provide and the one who will care, so don't worry. So what is that thing that you carried in here, that thing that you're worried about? Can you trust God enough to say, okay, I'm going to divert my energy towards you and your kingdom? It's my prayer today that we'll leave here unburdened of that anxiety, and that you'd experience that good and loving Father's security in your own life, and you wouldn't worry. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church in a city called Philippi, and they're experiencing anxiety. Part of the anxiety that they're experiencing is that Paul's in prison. So as Paul writes this, he's not writing it as a guy who just read it on a Hallmark card and thought it was sweet, right? He's writing it from experience. He has plenty to be anxious about. And he says this in chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So this is beyond now provision or security. It's every anxious situation. Could be big, could be small. Could be the news ticker tape that just never stops telling you how bad the world is. Or it could be that phone call you have to make today to a dad that you avoid. But every anxious situation, he says, don't be anxious. When anxiety shows up in your life, where does your heart go? It's important that Paul addresses your heart and your mind, because both of them go places. The mind, like, guard your mind. Where your mind can go to worst-case scenarios. For some of you, it goes to fatalism. For some of you, you need to check out at the door, and so you just go to Netflix or something else, right? You just, I need to check, I need to quit thinking for a while. Where does your heart go? The heart's more emotion and desire and affect. For some of us, it closes off, it shuts down, it needs to isolate. If you tell me don't be anxious, the first thing I need to do is get away from people, because they make me anxious. And then I'm stuck with myself, and I realize I make myself anxious, so now I'm really messed up. For some of us, the heart's going to take you to a place where you just want to medicate. You want to numb it. You want to get out of those feelings. For others of you, it'll push you into relationships that you shouldn't be in because you just want pain to go away. Where does your heart go? The Apostle Paul knows that you have a good and loving Father. And he knows that God's peace, the peace that he has for us, is bigger than our fears. Like, God's peace is bigger than that thing you're worried about, that thing that keeps you up at night, that worry about your kid, or you worry about their future, or you worry about, the thing you brought in here today. The Apostle Paul knows that the Father's love and his peace is bigger than that fear. That's why he uses the word transcend. He says, the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Transcend means that it's bigger than over it, but also means that it enters into it. It fills it. It surrounds it. And the reason that it transcends all understanding is because if we just paid attention to current events, you'd say, no, it's bad. The circumstances are bad. The outlook is bad. Where this thing ends could be bad. But for some reason, there's a peace here. Paul's writing from a prison, which is bad. And he doesn't know that he's going to get out or if he's going to get executed. But there's a peace that transcends all of the places my mind goes and all of the places my heart goes. It's bigger than my emotional or mental understanding. There's a peace that I'm called to receive. Peace that guards your heart and mind. It's such a powerful image, because exiled into a broken world with broken bodies and broken relationships, there's all kinds of potentialities. And yet there's this protection around your heart if you're a son or a daughter of God. God is guarding your heart and guarding your mind. You don't get taken out by the what ifs. And he's guarding it by the peace that is in Christ. The one who sits at the right hand of the Father, the one who prays, interceding for you so he can completely save you, like that Jesus who's alive today is guarding your heart and your mind. And so he says, do this, pray, ask, and give thanks. Give thanks sounds like the dumbest thing he could tell you to do, right? Because when you're in it, you're like, I'm not thankful for anything. But thankfulness and gratefulness, it kind of requires you to get out of the myopic moment where everything's right in my face and get up to about 5,000 feet and look at your life. And you realize, man, there are a lot of blessings. There are a lot of bird in the air moments, a lot of God providing, even though I didn't have barns. There is a lot of beautiful flowers that have popped up in my life that God just made happen. If I look at it all from beginning to end, I could see that the blessing and the beauty far outweighs the trauma and the anxiety. And so I could start to give thanks to the Father. And it doesn't mean don't ask and don't pray. He says, pray, give petition, like ask, God, I need this. God, help me. God, save me. Those are great prayers. I talked to someone this week that's going through a really hard time, and they said, I feel guilty because most of the time when I pray, I need something from God. That's okay. The Father loves it when his kids need him. When our kids were little, right, they need you all the time, so maybe that's different. right? And they have no hesitation bringing you their anxiety, like, she stole my toy, and, you know, it's your job to fix it. But as they get older, junior high, high school, college, they don't just, you're not on the field with them. You can kind of tell something's wrong, but you don't know completely. And when they come to you and they say, hey, can we talk about this, or I'm wrestling with this, or you can just ask enough that they're willing to put down their cell phone and talk to you, whatever, you break through that and you get past the, I don't know. And like, I love to hear where they're at. I love to carry that with them. I love to help them with that. And you have a good and loving Father that's way better than me or you, that says, come and ask and pray and bring it all to me. And then here's the promise. The peace of God is going to fill and surround and guard and protect your heart and your mind in Christ. That's how we get through this. That's how we thrive through this. God doesn't leave you. So pray, ask, give thanks, and then receive the Father's peace. Your hands are empty now. You've given it to him. You've let it lay there at the cross, and now you have something to receive, and the promise is his peace will come. And if you go, I tried it, it didn't work, keep trying. It will work. It's a promise. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. You won't understand it. It won't make sense. I can't give you three steps, but it's a promise. All right, turn with me to 1 Peter now. Let's get to the book. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It's just one verse. It's extremely powerful. I think it sums up the book, because the book is about suffering, and he kind of helps them go, this is a key that will unlock your suffering, your anxiety. And he just says this: cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The word for cast is literally like throw your anxiety on him. We often think that's weird. Like, how do I get rid of it? But if you think about it, we always give our anxiety to other people. We're always looking for someone to carry our anxiety with us. Read Facebook, okay? It shows up there all the time. And so when Jesus says, Peter's saying, cast it on God, you do this. I know you don't think you do, but you do. People are always wanting you to take their anxiety. Part of what was so brilliant about Jesus is that there were times where he didn't, right? He was able to say, that's not mine to carry, that's your anxiety. Here, he's saying, give it to me. I know you're carrying it. And don't try to give it to everybody else. It's okay to bear one another's burdens, but who can actually carry your anxiety? Only God can. And so when you try to dump it on somebody else's lap and they like don't take it, or they don't respond right, or they disappoint you, then you just blame them. Nobody loves me. Now I got more anxiety because nobody likes me. And it's not fair. We're all stumbling under our own pile of anxiety. I was talking to somebody in the church. She's an OR nurse, and she was asking me about my job, and she says, I don't know how you do your job. There's so much anxiety. And like literally, she's in surgeries, like keeping people's hearts beating with her hands, right? And I'm thinking, like, if that's me, I don't care if it's like an appendix surgery, it's gonna be like a MASH unit, right? The minute the cut happens, I'm like, oh my God, I would freak out nonstop. That's where my anxiety is. As long as people's body cavities are still closed, I'm pretty good. The minute they open up, it's bad. I have another friend that's a mortician, and I just can't even wrap my mind around his job. He meets with a grieving family, he picks up a body, he does whatever, then he's dressing, makeup, funeral. I'm like, I would be driving home every day just going, when is it gonna end? When is it gonna end? It's like, never. You're a funeral director. This is good for business, right? We all carry our anxiety differently. And we do want to cast it on other people, but the truth is, other people can't carry our anxiety for us. We can help each other, but the way we should help each other is help each other cast it on the Father who cares for us. Help each other let it go and leave it there. The Father not only cares for you, but says, I want to carry it for you, which is a really, really good thing. So you have a good and loving Father, and He cares for you. And He knows the situation that you're in right now. He knows what's breaking your heart. He knows what's working on your head. He knows that. And He knows the specifics and can provide and care for you in that place. But He also wants to carry it for you. And that's the most beautiful invitation. And the promise is you'll get His peace in exchange, which is a really good deal. The one time when Jesus actually looks like He's going to break under anxiety is in the garden. Right after He sets this table of bread and wine and says, this is My body, which is broken for you. This is the cup, which is My blood poured out for you. And then he goes and He prays by Himself. And He does this. He casts His anxiety on the Father. And He says, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from Me. It's a prayer. It's a request. It's a throwing that fear on top of God. And yet there's this place of surrender. It's not My will, but Your will be done, right? I'm going to trust that the circumstances look bad. This pathway that You're asking me to save the world looks really hard, but I'm going to surrender and trust You. But He asked three times, casting His anxiety. And He did that so that you wouldn't have to bear the circumstance. That you wouldn't have to suffer the sin, so that He could give you the promise that you are now sons and daughters of the Father that cares for you. He did that so He could give you His peace, which overcomes the world. He did that so you and I could not worry, but seek His kingdom. So that we wouldn't have to be anxious, but we can pray and receive His peace. So that we could throw all our cares on Him because He cares and will carry them for us. And so today there'll be people at these doors that want to pray with you, want to help you cast your cares on God. And as you come to this table, the Holy Spirit will empower you to trust and step out in faith and seek His kingdom and not worry. As we worship, we would ask God to give us the kind of bold, courageous trust that can look anxiety in the face and believe that His peace is greater than our fears. So today you're invited to this table, to the Father, to receive His peace and give Him your fears. Let's pray. Father, You are a good and loving Father. And God, we really, really need to hear that and believe that in a world that's broken, where evil really does exist and sin dwells deep within us, that You still have chosen to be our Father through Christ. I pray this morning, God, for my brothers and my sisters here and what they have carried into this space with them that weighs down their hearts. Father, in Your mercy, would You allow them to seek Your kingdom and not worry? In Your mercy, would You allow them to cast, to throw those concerns upon you and believe and experience your care. And would you, by your Holy Spirit, God, invade the spaces of our lives and our hearts where anxiety dwells and bring your peace? Would you wrap up our hearts and our minds in that peace? Today, God, we come as your kids and we want to enter into your care. So minister now to us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Himself. If you're interested in hearing other sermons or want more information about the church, please visit our website at www.imagodaycommunity.com. Thanks a lot for listening.